worry about the soup. Can't do nothing about the dust. Walking down underground, hunkered down upstairs. It still feels like home to me, though I know it looks like hell down in the hole. Lord, it's a sweet and a sight, a sweet and a sight.
Joining us right now is a guy.
You know, it's amazing how you can have such complete information sitting here.
I sit around just watching TV and scratching myself.
And here's a guy who's all over it. Yeah. Chris Francis is up there. He's all over
it.
And yet you seem to have even more information.
Yeah, well, I'm watching TV and scratching myself and downloading porn, and I actually managed to find out quite a bit. But let me just say this. I did notice that you were there for the press conference. They have like a little sort of press opportunity at the end whenever there's a break.
Right.
And by the way, you're getting up for some kind of commendation for getting the mic flag on camera.
Yeah.
You did a really good job with that. For people who don't know what we're talking about, the mic flag is the little thing that's on the microphone that says the call letters and frequency of the station. And it is one of the three or four managerial ideas that our boss, Steve Salini, has ever had, is that the mic flag should be visible.
It's up to three or four now?
Well, maybe.
No. In fact, Colin, to take it one step further, it's more important to have the flag on TV for the TV news at night, regardless of whether you get the sound.
Right. I mean, our reporters have been instructed, if they see, like, a dead body, they just throw the mic onto the body in case the TV camera starts shooting it, you know. But,
don't we have dummy microphones that we actually use for that?
Either they're not attached to it.
Right.
Just throw the microphone. All right. Well, anyway, I didn't get to hear all the stuff that was discussed in the press conference. I did hear them say that Arthur Diedrich, the head of CDA, who was a key figure in the testimony yesterday, he is going to testify and he's not going to take the fifth. Is that what they said?
That's what it sounds like. Wayne Fox announced that today, or confirmed it today, that the CDA chair and president, Arthur Diedrich, has agreed to come and testify, and there apparently are no strings attached to that, no restrictions as to what he can be asked.
And did anything else come up? Unfortunately, I was like doing really well at Tetris at that moment. I wasn't really paying that much attention to what
Let's see, what else from the... they were asking what they thought about what they heard so far, and they were trying to explain why it's important to go through all the detail of the ethics code, and Arthur O'Neill, one of the committee co-chairs, who said, hey, I'm a lawyer too, and I've read this thing, but even I can't figure out all of it. It seems like there are a lot of redundancies in it and things that contradict themselves. So it's good we get someone who's familiar with it in here to kind of clear it up for us so we know what we're dealing with.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I think that it is clear that you're not supposed to take stuff from people who are doing business with the state. I don't know how hard this is. Like, they could have had Robert Fulghum come up there and come.
Well,
I mean, this is like a kindergarten.
Here's the thing, you know, what defines a gift? What defines a gift of value? What defines other things of value that aren't gifts? What makes it appropriate, whether you're a friend or you're a subordinate or have you had prior dealings? Do you have a history of exchanging gifts with this individual?
Mm-hmm.
If so, that actually might be a mitigating factor in the public official's favor. Hey, you know, they give gifts all the time anyway. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he's the governor.
Yeah. All right, well, this is all I can stand even to think about this. I'm so sorry for you that you have to go back in there. It is just the worst. Anyway, have a good time.
All right.
Take some of those caffeine pills that Helen Ubinius was writing about today.
Okay.
All right, bye.
It's
funny because I've been very out of sympathy with people like Helen Ubinius, who's a fantastic columnist and a wonderful person. I had a column today, and one of the emphases of said column.
But you don't like her, do you?
No, I do like her. I'm very fond of her, intensely fond of her. I liked her. I've known her since she was in college. I thought she was great then.
She thinks that you don't like her.
Yeah, and I love her now. I'm wild about her. So, she got a column today, and other people have said this to me, too, that they think these hearings are really, really boring. And it is true that part of the method of establishing the record in these hearings has been, you know, for Stephen Reich, you know, it takes them about 45 minutes to establish that they're in Hartford right now. You know,
that's pretty important.
Yeah. And is the name of the city where we're sitting right now, does it begin with an H, sir? Well, yes, it does. Are there two syllables in the name of this? I mean, it's like they're playing Cranium or
Wheel
something.
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, so, Is there an L?
Yeah. But for all of that, I mean, the preceding days of the hearings, I you know, there's stuff that I'm interested in, and they do get to it, and it's...
They have to do it that way, though, don't they? I mean, if you leave some little thing out on a technical...
I don't think they have to do it. I mean, well, first of all, I just don't think that this particular witness has been particularly helpful to them.
Well, I mean, in general, yeah. I was just talking...
No, I understand that it's better to be painstaking. It's better, you know, to nail all this stuff down. And so on the preceding days, I haven't had a problem with it. I've been great with it.
So it's just today.
Oh, it is just, I mean, I can't even tell you what has been testified to today because I just couldn't.
What would be better? I mean, what would you like to see to add some zip to it?
Well, maybe if this particular witness was Rachel Rubin,
yeah.
I would say at a minimum she would have to work with one of the Tigers from Siegfried and Roy for this to be interesting. The Tiger would have to be also sitting at a separate mic, and the two of them would just be sitting there. And from time to time, she would have to turn to the Tiger and say, "You want to take this one?"
Yeah.
That would make it more interesting. But other than that, I can't think of anything that would make it interesting. And I don't mean to complain about this. I also want to say that it's always great when you watch something like this and then see how the papers cover it the next morning. Because, like yesterday I was describing this thing, and I know this is a little bit boring, but I'll just take you through it again, which is that yesterday they described in elaborate detail, and by the way, this James Mintz investigative firm or something, whatever they're called, and I think their operatives get something either $300 or $350 an hour. These aren't the lawyers. These are the investigators. Now, most of these investigators, they're former federal agents. A lot of them are lawyers and accountants and stuff like that. And, you know, but on the other hand, sometimes in their answers to some of the questions, they seem a little stupid.
So you don't think we're getting $350 an hour?
I'm thinking you probably, you know, hire some guy who's working out of a room on Pratt Street or something, you know, to do a lot of this work for about $60 an hour and get the same. Some of these guys, they're just like, really?
But they don't make you on the case.
They say, did you know this? And they go, no, we didn't know that. I'm thinking, well, could you, like, get a subscription to The Current, maybe, and you just kind of get up to speed on this case a little bit before you start charging us $350 an hour?
It probably would be a conflict of interest, but it's too bad Vinny is not doing anything, is he now?
I don't think Vinny is in a good position. I don't think Vinny or anybody in the vast bottom man crime-fighting apparatus is really eligible to investigate any of this stuff. But
too bad, though.
Anyway, we won't have time to talk about it right here, but, I mean, it is... One of the few interesting areas of testimony yesterday, or one of the more interesting areas of testimony yesterday, involved this elaborate deal that was cut in the hallway outside of a meeting of the Connecticut Development Authority. And it was cut in the way that it was cut for very complicated reasons, most of which I am convinced I understand. But when you read about it today, this morning, in any newspaper that covered it, at least any of the newspapers that I read, well, actually, I only read the New York Times and the Hartford Current, but there were two accounts of it in the Hartford Current, and one account of it in the New York Times, and none of the accounts even remotely what really was discussed yesterday or what was really presented to the committee. But it's one of those things where, I mean, anytime anything gets really complicated, they just blow past it. They just sort of say, well, here's what happened. And they don't tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying this, that the Current or the Times doesn't mean to tell you the truth, but when they think about how incredibly hard it's going to be to explain what actually did happen, what they wind up doing is saying, well, here's what happened, and then it does something that's much simpler. Anyway, I'll explain what I mean by this. We're about to run into a commercial break, and I just...